This is Kevin Harlan. This Friday, the NBA on Prime crew and I are back with another exciting Emirates NBA Cup doubleheader. First, Bam Adebayo and the Heat take on Jalen Brunson and the Knicks. Then, Steph Curry and the Warriors square off against Wemby and the Spurs. If you're not a Prime member, just sign up for a free 30-day trial. Heat Knicks, Warriors Spurs. Coverage starts Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, only on Prime. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Du bist ein Raider, der sich unter der Erde niedergelassen hat. Doch jetzt musst du an die Oberfläche zurückkehren. Dorthin, wo die Ark-Maschinen umherstreifen. Wenn du mutig genug bist, wer weiß, was du da oben findest. Ark Raiders. Ein Multiplayer-Extraction-Abenteuer-Videospiel. Jetzt erhältlich für PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X und S sowie PC.
Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything.
On the big show today, comedian Billy Gardell. He's coming up in just a minute.
This is Kevin Harlan. This Friday, the NBA on Prime crew and I are back with another exciting Emirates NBA Cup doubleheader. It all tips off with Bam Adebayo and the Miami Heat taking on Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks in an East Coast rivalry. Then, Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors go toe-to-toe with Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs. It all comes your way this Friday on Prime. And if you're not a Prime member, that's not a problem. Sign up for a free 30-day trial to get started today. The Heat and Knicks, the Warriors and Spurs. Coverage starts Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Only on Prime. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Monday, 5:50 a.m. Wow. Just ripped a hat trick while walking into the studio.
Wow.
Today is going to be a great day.
Yeah.
6:42 a.m. Chick seems a little down today. I'll hold this one for another break and spring it on him in the green room. He'll love it.
I will.
7:06 a.m. Just stealthily lifted my right cheek. Hopefully Christy didn't notice. 7:07 a.m. She noticed. 9:25 a.m.
Whoa.
That one must have had a tailwind. I think I saw Bob's mustache twitch. 12:09 p.m. Lunch with the guys, always fun. Got one of my urgent phone calls, which allowed me an opportunity to crop dust the entire restaurant. Got back to the table. Mark had left early for some reason. 5:50 p.m. Exciting moment in the grocery store just now.
Yeah.
I've never had one change pitch this way before. It sounded exactly like a British police car with that Doppler effect siren thing. Must call Chick. I'll text him to share the news. 2 a.m. Wow. Just had one so impressive I woke myself up all alone, but I still blamed it on the dog. Tomorrow is going to be a great day.
We're just waiting for the cast to actually show up for work. Here's more Bob and Tom Extra.
Tom, we have one of our favorite people in the universe with us today.
We're joined by a very fine actor and comedian. He is Billy Gardell, but he only brought half of himself. You left Fat Billy somewhere else.
He had to go away. He had to go away. He's not coming back, and we don't know anything about it.
All right, we won't ask any questions.
Billy Gardell is a very fine stand-up comedian. We first met you on the stand-up circuit many years ago. I think Tim Wilson, I think, brought you in.
He begged you guys to have me on the air and promised that I would behave and be polite, be a gentleman. And I was trying to think of when I met you guys. I want to say it was middle 90s.
Probably,
maybe even a little before that. So thank you for having me back. It's great to see you guys.
Great seeing
it's
you.
Nice to meet you, Pat Godwin. We've done every gig.
Yeah.
week or two apart. That's one of those names.
You know? In fact, like, we did a famous strip
last week that we're
strip club gig.
Exactly.
You did a strip club gig?
Yeah.
The Palomino, I would imagine, is what you're referring to.
Yeah, in Atlanta, they tried to have comedians with strippers, and it didn't work. We were paid pretty well. But
yeah, that was it.
Were the girls stripping while you were doing stand-up?
No, they'd give us like a 10-minute spot.
It was a 6 o'clock, a 9 o'clock, and a midnight, right?
Seemed like it went on forever.
Oh, dear God. And I was really heavy back then, too. So I remember, man, that happy hour crowd was the tough one. Because it's like 6 o'clock, the lights go up, the girls leave, and then I go waddling towards the stage like, show us your some all right. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody? How we doing? We have the same scar, Pat. That's like the two guys talking about the scars in the boat and Jaws. Look at this. Right here. Atlanta, the Palomino took it out of me, shucks. Eyes black at night.
They didn't have any customers. It was just you performed for the strippers.
Yeah.
And after a while, you're there for 2 weeks.
I imagine the idea, the germ of that probably came from the 50s.
Yeah, burlesque.
Oh,
yeah.
Burlesque.
And Lenny Bruce... Famously, right. I mean, if you've ever seen the movie Lenny, where Dustin Hoffman portrays Lenny Bruce, that's fairly accurate.
Yeah, that's what they were trying to bring that back, and this guy had a whim to do that. And I think me and Pat and maybe three or four other guys survived it before they pulled the plug.
And they stopped it, We had like one little tiny green room in the back where I would hide because it was just crazy.
Did you play guitar back then?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I did my little guitar action.
I wished I played guitar back then.
What were you doing?
I would have put cymbals on my knees and clanked them together. I mean, it was horrifying.
Our guest is Billy Gardell, before he got famous. Let me ask you this. Was the content of your comedy when you were playing in this strip club, was it a clean show?
No.
Your show now is relatively...
I swear a little bit, but I'm not going to say nothing that's going to run you out the door. That's never really been my thing. No, I don't think so. I was still just trying to be funny. I was probably talking about getting drunk a lot because that was what was going on back then. So, you know, but that fit that particular group.
Oh, God. I went with.
Did you? Let me ask you this. So you're playing this this strip club. Did you meet the ladies?
Oh God!
Oh yeah.
I mean,
they were nude. It was
nude.
But you would sit at the bar waiting for your spot. I don't know how it worked for, but I had to drink to get through it. I'm like, what have I done with my life? Right. But then they would sit and then get up and go work and sit and get up and go. But they would like drop some of their story on you, as so you would just get this round robin. Anyway, my boyfriend said he doesn't really care for me and he's going to Louisiana. Anyway, I got to work. And the other one will come in. I think I'm just going to do this long enough until I can get a car, and I'm going to work. Sit there like the dude in the Big Lebowski. All right, man. Okay.
That was Dina.
If you really got to know them, would they tell you their real name?
Oh, a couple of them did.
Yeah, I go by Galaxy. Galaxy, my real name is
Star. Galaxy, my real name is Star.
Toughest gig I've ever done, man. That was rough.
Oh, wow. One time we were out with our band, and it was, where was that?
It was in Nebraska, I believe. Yeah.
And the club was a huge place, and for some reason there was a strip show in the middle of the day. So, and they were kind of over on the right and back.
Yeah.
And we were trying to do a sound check. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
I believe it was a strip club most of the time.
And we were the guests?
Yes, we were the guests that day.
All right. Billy Gardell has gone on to many other things besides stand-up comedy. It would include... one of my favorite sitcoms of all time.
You are so kind about that. Thank you.
True.
This is odd. I have seen every episode, and I have not seen every episode of any other show because it used to air at 3 a.m. here.
So when you were getting ready to come in.
I've seen every episode. I'm not kidding.
I'm sorry you had to hear my voice first every day. I'm sorry for that. My dad used to say, it should be on top of an ambulance. Get out of the way. There's been an accident.
The show is, of course, Mike and Molly.
Of course.
Right.
And every once in a while, there'll be a marathon on the weekends.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it on. So as I come and go, I get to watch.
That's so well written. It's so well cast.
That's perfect, man.
It's perfect. Perfect cast.
Our table read scripts were better than most people shoot scripts. That camp just has an incredible writing staff that Chuck kind of promotes from within. He has kind of a farm system So you really have to make it to the next level to get to the next level. And, man, some of the drafts we would get, we'd be laughing out loud at the beginning of the week.
Now, are there is there somewhere an outtake reel?
Yeah, I got a couple, actually. You want me to send you one?
Well,
we got that. Some funny ones. We had some great. They're just such a great cast.
Now, who was the best at remembering their lines?
Me.
Mm-hmm. Is that a lie?
I was just terrified I was going to lose my job every day. So you know, because you think about it, you know, Melissa had been on Gilmore Girls and came out of the Groundlings. Katie Mixon, who played her sister, was out of Carnegie Mellon. Niambi Niambi's Shakespearean trained. Reno Wilson had a show and then he went to the School of Fame in New York. Lou Mastillo, Broadway. Swoozy Kurtz, Broadway. Rondi Reed, who played my mom, Steppenwolf. And then,
here I come out of the Comedy Club kitchen. You guys doing a show? And,
I had to be on my horse, man.
Do you, by chance, know who you beat out for the role? Was it someone you knew?
I do. There was a great guy, Lance Barber.
He's wonderful.
And a great guy. And me and Lance, now Lance was the dad on Young Sheldon, so he eventually ended up on the Yankees too. So, and I got to go down and congratulate him, but it came down to me and him. During the late 90s, early 2000s, me and Lance passed each other every audition. We were like, you know that, remember that Warner Brothers cartoon? It was like, morning, Bob, morning, Fred. Right. We were those guys passing, like every overweight white dad. We were like, you know what I mean? Or the sidekick or the cop. Like, we would just pass each other at every audition. So I was very happy when he got that.
And you guys had great scenes together on Young Sheldon.
Oh, man, it was fun to go down
and
play
with him. His son was a tire savant kind of.
Yeah,
we got Young Sheldon.
We got to hide in the chicken shack and have our beers.
How fun. That must have been great to actually get to work together after all that.
It was really, really nice. And to go in and play supporting role to him was even cooler.
Yeah.
You know? And then he really took that role and crushed it.
Yeah,
he did. And that was another great cast. Another great cast.
That happens to be my daughter Finn's favorite show.
I love every
episode of Young Sheldon.
The young people that watch that show, it's unbelievable. I mean, they've kind of skipped a generation. Like, they were a hit on TV, but then when they went, I think they're Netflix now.
Yeah,
boom, they're a hit again, which is pretty
the
amazing.
Show has heart.
Yeah, that's
a lot of heart, a lot of charm. Yeah. And
our guest is a distinguished actor and comedian, Billy Gardell. When you, this is an awkward question.
Sure,
you are a man of a certain size.
Oh, as you could see me from the space shuttle. Yeah. When I had that blue uniform on, I looked like another body of water.
Lake Michigan.
Wow. Here he comes.
Was there, this is awkward, was there something in your contract saying, hey, don't lose weight, we need you to be bigger? If you had said, hey, look, I'm going to drop 100 pounds, would they have written it into the script?
You know, I think Chuck would have done that, because on the second show I did, Bob Hart's Abishola, that's when I had to make a change, because it was like... you know, I got type 2 diabetes, and then I had some cholesterol problems and some triglyceride. But, like, you can't, once the numbers start climbing, mm-hmm. you can't play denial anymore, you know, or you might lose a foot, you know. So I had to really come to grips with, I got to get healthy no matter what the thing is. And I went in and talked to Chuck, which was over the...
This is Chuck Lurie, the...
Yeah, Chuck Lurie,
head of the head of the...
Dropping show. Names all over the floor here. But I said, look, man, I got to make a real health change. It was over the hiatus between season 2 and season 3 of Bob Hart's. And he's like, look, man, I just want you here. Just go get healthy. And he goes, and we'll color it into the script. Like, hey, Bob, did you go to the gym today? Hey, Bob, you eating salad? And that actually kind of reflected the show, because at the beginning of that show, I play a guy who had a heart attack and then wakes up and falls in love with his nurse. And she's from Nigeria, and it's about blended families, and love is love. But underneath that, it's kind of his journey to getting healthy. So it kind of reflected and worked perfectly. But I think had I been in trouble with Mike and Molly, I think Chuck would have been supportive either way. He's been really...
And Melissa McCarthy's also dropped some.
Yeah.
Pounds.
Yeah. Melissa actually was ahead of me, man. But she was just always being strict and really got focused in on exercise. I had bariatric surgery, and I always say that I'm very open about that, because, you know, the wonderful cesspool that the internet... Don't you miss Earth One? I do. I feel like I bumped up against a multiverse and I'm not supposed to be here. But But I did bariatric surgery, and I always say that because there was a group on the internet after I lost my weight all over Facebook doing fake AI commercials saying I ate these magic gummy bears to lose weight.
Oh, man.
And I was like, I got to defend that and just say, because my lawyer said, look, you could chase them. You'd run out of money before you'd catch them because they bounce off of everything. You can't catch anybody on the internet. So I just tell people openly what I did because there's always somebody that will come up there that saw those commercials online and go, did those gummy bears work? I'm like, dude, gummy bears is what got me in trouble in the first place. Let's get back to cognitive thinking.
Your breakout hit, Mike and Molly.
Yes, sir.
Was that your very first appearance on television?
No, my first appearance was, I want to say, in somewhere around 97. I was a guest star. I got a guest starring spot on The King of Queens, where I played, it was his football team reunion, and me and another guy got to play a guy. These guys that kind of used to give Patton Oswalt's character a rash of trouble in high school, and they played on that, and then there was a thing where Kevin James got the game-winning block, but they were giving credit to somebody else and he couldn't hold it together. It was a fun episode. And then I did little, you know, I was man number three, and then, you know, like the plumber and stuff. I did a bunch of those. And then I caught some air on a show called Yes, Dear, as a reoccurring character.
You were a security guard, right, at a studio?
Yeah, we were the security guards at the studio, and we used to film there, which was great because when I had an audition, because we were cool with the security guards, when those guys were in there and they saw me coming, they're like, they used to park you, like, way down the street in the parking structure, and it's L.A. heat. You know, you're heavy. I'm walking in, just, I look like a serial killer by the time I get to the audition. But because we were cool with those guards and we played them, they would always sneak us into a parking spot that a producer wasn't in.
Like,
right. Take 454, but be out of there by 1. Got it. All right. Okay. I'm all good. So.
Did you ever do any commercials?
I did. I did a local McDonald's commercial. I did a Nokia cell phone commercial that went national. And then I was a spokesperson for a restaurant out in California early on, which is actually what got me married, for a place called Round Table Pizza. And I did, like, I don't know, 10 or 11 commercials for them. I was like their, I don't know what the word is. What's the
spokesperson? Were you
spokesperson.
Were you on camera?
Yeah. We did probably ten commercials.
Was this the larger iteration of Billy Gardell?
Yeah, absolutely. But I wasn't at full capacity yet, but I was on my way. And
helped.
I had like a flat top haircut. Well, yeah, I always said, I go, you're gonna get a thin guy to advertise pizza? Let's be real. That's like when they show a commercial for Michelob Light and some dude's running a marathon. Okay. Stop it. Just put the game on and shut up. But I did that, and that got me, that was the first financial, like, little bit of get-ahead breathing room that I had, and that's when I got married to my wife. We went to Hawaii for their spokesperson thing, and they very kindly gave us a couple extra days, and we got married, just me and her out there for, we bought the $2,200 wedding package.
Nice.
And we're still married to this day.
I like your wife because she talked to you out of the mustache.
She really talked me out of it. She looked at me and said, that's it. I'm done kissing the cactus. It's been 5 years. Take it off. I was like, oh. Because I liked it. You grow a mustache, you know, you're going to roll the dice. You either look pervy or old-timey. And I came out old-timey. I was like, let me keep this. Like,
now, the producers, when you're on your second big show and you've got the mustache.
Yeah.
Do you have to say, hey, look, Chuck, I'm going to grow this mustache?
You know,
or do you show up on set and he goes, wait a minute.
No, what I did was for the table read for the network in the studio before the pilot, I grew it and I brought it in, and Chuck walked up and he goes, yeah, I like it. And that was it.
Really?
Yeah, I figured the guy's a compression sock salesman from Detroit. Chances are he's got a mustache.
Yeah.
He's driving a Cadillac. Hey, how you doing? And it just kind of failed.
I'm a fan of the compression socks.
Oh, me too, brother. I can't fly without them. That's the only part I don't like about being back on the road is at this point, I'm like Bull Durham out on the road. You know, I'm just knees hurt, got to wear compression, got to get up, take a walk in the plane.
Same here.
Make sure I don't drink too much before I get on the plane. And I just mean liquids, not liquor. Yeah. But I mean, it's like, yeah, so, but, you know, it's a gift to be out.
I want to go back to the early days of stand-up.
Sure.
Yes, sir. I was talking to my son Willie. He's currently touring with Frank Caliendo. And
Frank's
He was talking about, you know, in the early days when you're first doing it, you always have to have a couple of beers before you go on stage because you're nervous. Then there comes a point where you say, wait a minute, I'm working.
Yeah.
I got to be straight when I do this. Was there a phase where you mentioned you were drinking when you were doing those strip club gigs?
Yeah, I drank every week. And then, you know, I haven't had a drink in years now. But back then, I was I started with tequila and beer. Then I went to Jack Daniels. And then I went to Jameson, and Jameson put me on the bench.
Yeah,
that's the one. That's what took me out of the game.
That's where you and Pat met. The Jameson brothers.
Double once, Jameson will take you.
You know, when it you have to look at your career realistically, and when you get to the point where it's they mention your name and they go, "Man, he can drink," instead of "Man, he's funny," then you got to go, "Okay, wait a minute, I'm fading away here." So.
I never wanted to drink before I got up.
Smart.
Because I didn't want to have to rely on anything.
There it is. There
but
it is.
Jeff, do you? Or did you?
I go up with a beer, but I just sip. Just have it to sip. I don't drink beforehand, but everyone's like, "Oh, you were hammered." I'm like, I had one sip.
I can understand having a cocktail up there. It's a very social setting. And, you know, I totally get that. But I would do like, you know, three or four shots before going up.
All right, with the judgment.
Not judging at all.
No,
yeah,
I'm judging. Yeah,
there were always guys like that.
But I thought I needed it, and then you know, I quit drinking, and 2 years later, I had a TV show. So I was like, wow, I probably should have put the brakes on a little bit earlier.
You could have been on Friends.
Did you ever?
All that Friends movie.
Did you ever find the drinking caused you to forget part of your act, though? That's what I would be
weirdly
about.
No. Oh. No, weirdly no. I don't know if it just loosened me up or whatever, but I was just leaning into it too heavy. And then when it starts getting sloppy, I'm like, you know, man, a wise old man told me at the worst part of my drinking, look, man, he goes, I'll just shoot you straight. A guy like you, he goes, I watched you drink all week. He goes, you can have a drink or you can have everything else, but you better make your choice. And then the wife put it in the suggestion box. I kept everything else.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam. Und die Black Friday-Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem. Mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30 Tage. PayPal es. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2.000 Euro.